I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This $250,000 wire that you're talking about, so it comes from this guy, Jonathan Lee, who I think is a member of the Communist Party of China.
Yep.
$250,000,
yes.
And this was at a moment where Hunter Biden was actually living in California. Is that right? So if
That's
he was
right.
living in California, why did the money go to Joe Biden's home in Delaware?
That's a great question. And remember, when I first released that, Ian Sams, the little minion that goes out and leads the lying campaign and the false narratives coming from the White House, he quickly fought back because they have this war room against me and Jim Jordan now, Maria. And he said, well, I can explain that wire from communist China. Hunter Biden was living with his dad during COVID. Well, there's two problems with that lie that Ian Sams said. Number one, COVID hadn't happened yet. We were 6 months away from COVID happening. And number two, Hunter lived in California. And that's according to his own book. At that time, he lived in California. So the wire was sent to Joe Biden's house in Delaware while he was a candidate for president. I think that Adam Schiff would probably call that Chinese collusion.
Yeah, I love it. There is a Congressman Comer of the House Oversight Committee as the GOP begins its impeachment inquiry. Underway, of course, today, all day, with a scattering of pieces of evidence and a lot based on some that got released last night, which we'll get to in a moment. But again, that wire of $250,000 going right to Joe Biden's house when Hunter Biden's not there to get it. You know Hunter was always hungry for money. He wouldn't have them send it to a place where he is not located. Oh, that's right. He's a crackhead. He might have forgotten where he was at the time. Who knows? That'll probably be their excuse. Although his own attorneys have said Hunter Biden never got such a check. Where the hell did it go? That's why today's hearing involving a lot of bank records and information like that being sorted out. And of course, some of it's being presented undisputed. I want to raise that issue with you. There are no witnesses testifying that that's not true. So you're getting that one side. You're getting Democrats on the panel raising questions, trying to undermine it, much as you were hearing Comer refer to the little minion. And I'm sure he thought of other words he wanted to use, but a little S-head that comes running out of the White House explaining, oh, we know why that happened. That's about the only pushback that's happening. But there'll be more. You can't get into this fight and not realize it is going to get dirty, because the closer you get to linking Joe Biden to any of this money, it is going to really pull things apart. Once again, thanks for joining us. Here we are, September 28, 2023. This is the second hour of Larry Connors USA. We air Monday through Friday right here from 6 to 8 p.m. If you miss any of them, you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and pull up audio or the video. Because while we are on the air, we are putting up a stream from the studio. You can find that at LarryConnorsUSA Facebook or Twitter, or NewsTalk STL Facebook or Twitter. And you can also find it on Rumble. Somebody sent word to me last night they found it on YouTube. I said, well, that's a surprise to me. I thought they banned us. They didn't want us on. You can't tell those idiots what they want from day to day. And some of you want to know, what about the debates? What about the debates? Well, I'm not going to bother with it, other than call it out for being a lot of stupidity. And I'll explain that in more detail before we wrap up this segment. And something that Donald Trump is now building upon that might put a cease to any future such debates paid for by the RNC, Republican National Committee. You may or may not agree with him, but I'll have that coming up before we wrap up this segment. So here we have Congressman Comer talking about, you have to remember a lot of the information we have has come from these IRS whistleblowers, and they've been very consistent with their stories, and they've been giving us information that backs it up. Emails.
This is evidence of a cover-up. We've been talking about there are two issues at stake here with our investigation. There's the investigation of the Biden crimes, and there's the investigation of the Biden crimes cover-up. And this is evidence of a cover-up. And we have thought for a long time that Leslie Wolf was at the center of the cover-up. She's the career Department of Justice employee in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware who obstructed this investigation. When it got to Joe Biden, and the fact that this got to Joe Biden, especially the Foreign Agents Registration Act, that's the most obvious violation that the president's son and brother committed. They were foreign agents for these adversarial countries, and they were lobbying one person. They were lobbying Joe Biden. So Joe Biden's a part of the violation of the Foreign Agents Registration Act. That's why the IRS wanted to talk to him. And at that point, the Department of Justice said, no, remove him from the investigation. We're not going to bring anyone in Hunter Biden's family into this. And then the next step, she covered, you know, she let the statute of limitations expire. She did everything she could to protect Joe Biden.
She did. And again, that's part of information that got released last night. We're going to give you more detail on it, but it involved an August 2020 email showing that Wolf, who was then a deputy for David Weiss, who is now the overseeing the Hunter Biden criminal probe, supposedly as a special counsel, the same guy that put together the deal, the sweetheart deal for Hunter Biden to go in and plead guilty to the IRS charges he didn't pay some taxes and then just write a check from a friend and pay it all off. And then the gun charges would just be kind of dismissed if you do community service, the same crime that many are in jail for because they lied on a federal application for a gun. He did it. There's your white privilege, my friend. Those who are looking for white privilege, there it is. White class privilege, Hunter Biden, not being charged with a gun crime. But, of course, the judge threw it out, saying, I'm not accepting this deal. His attorney's still trying to say, well, no, the deal's still in effect. It's not in effect. And they're going to have to come up with something else, and the pressure is building on Hunter. And then, of course, Comer's pointing out, as you heard then, that the deputy for David Weiss had told the whistleblowers, you've got figure number one referred to in here, and figure number one is Joe Biden, and she said, there should be nothing about political figure one in here. Another example of cover-up, getting Joe Biden's name out of any implication. That's what the IRS whistleblowers are saying, and they've got it in emails. And then, of course, we have President Biden's personal bank records.
This is the first wire that I've obtained that did not go through a shell company. And that's very important because we're fixing to issue subpoenas for the personal bank records. And what the Bidens have been arguing to the media behind closed doors, their allies in the media, is that, all the business was transacted through the shell companies. Nothing was transacted through the personal accounts. That's why they don't need to be nosing around in the president's family's personal accounts. This is $250,000 wire. And then there was another $10,000 wire that was sent directly to the president's son's personal account. So we have evidence now that shows they were also influence peddling directly from foreign nationals to their personal accounts. So this is when they're getting really sloppy at this point, and they're not going through the shell companies, because if you go through the timeline by this point, Maria, these shell companies always had an associate in there with them. And the Bidens had crooked all their associates by 2019. So it looks like this may be a pattern where the money, instead of going through the shell companies, went directly to the Biden's personal account.
Again, that's Ohio Congressman Comer, chair of the House Oversight Committee, as they began the impeachment inquiry. And he's probably right. They were getting sloppy in how they were doing. And they also felt, nobody's going to come after us. They didn't go after Hillary and Bill Clinton for their Clinton Foundation when they were basically extorting money from various nations. If you want anything done by Hillary once she's elected president, oh, that's right, that plan failed. Now, last night, 700 pages released by Missouri Congressman Smith, his Ways and Means Committee, contained a lot of damning information for the Bidens.
Moments ago, the Ways and Means Committee, we voted to release over 700 pages of additional material provided to the committee by two IRS whistleblowers, Gary Shapley and Joseph Ziegler, who came forward at great risk to their careers and reputations to bring to light evidence of corruption and misconduct within our federal government. On June 22nd, the committee voted to release the initial testimony of the two IRS whistleblowers that showed wrongdoing and misconduct at both the Department of Justice and the IRS. Their testimony then also shed light on a complex and lucrative enterprise operated by the Biden family to enrich themselves to the tune of at least $20 million, with much of Hunter Biden's share going unreported for taxes.
And it's probably closer to a total of $50 million or more that went to the Biden family. Now, you've got certain, quote, reporters asking, well, you're pointing to some time dates that Biden was no longer vice president, and he was not yet president, was not even running for president. How can you say he did anything wrong? Are you that stupid, or you expect us to be that stupid? They were trading on the Biden name as previous vice president, and even if he hadn't announced to be president, it still carried weight. It had cachet for those who wanted to get a little something done. And again, Congressman Smith of Missouri on how the Hunter Biden brand all tied together.
From documents released just moments ago, as you can see in the WhatsApp message behind me, from June 6, 2017, Hunter Biden explicitly wrote to a business associate that he was not willing to, quote, sign over my family's brand, close quote, or give this individual, quote, the keys to my family's only asset. That asset could only be one person, Joe Biden. IRS investigators provided worksheets they compiled as part of their investigation into Hunter Biden's tax crimes, which connect his business activities to official government activity.
And there you had that date that some of the, quote, journalists are jumping on saying, he wasn't president in June 2017. He wasn't even announced as a candidate to be president, and he was no longer vice president. So what's the big deal? You think just because the Godfather is off in the islands, he's still not the Godfather? And again, that message that was recovered from an Apple iCloud by the committee investigating it, showing the message from Hunter to Biden's brother, Jim, as he refers to him here, James, it begins, bull honky. Well, he used another word. Bull honky, James. All around, bull honky. Explain to me one thing Tony brings to my table. Tony Bobulinski, brings to my table that I so desperately need that I'm willing to sign over my family's brand and pretty much the rest of my business life. Read the effing documents, people. That's what Hunter was writing. It's plain effing English. Why in God's name would I give this marginal bully the keys to my family's only asset? Why? And again, some of the meetings they were having and guys they had involved were tied to the Chinese communist. And it gets back to what James Comer has been saying for so long. What were they getting for the money they did get? You know, I know, they know. James Comer.
All these people who were paying the Bidens, first of all, Joe Biden met with every single one of them or talked to them on the phone, even though he lied to the American people and said he never met with any of them. He met with all of them. They were all in trouble. They were all needing help from the United States. If you talk about the Romanian money, the Ukrainian money, they were being investigated for corruption in their home countries. They needed help from Joe Biden. In China, this was the Chinese government. This was the Chinese government sending direct payments to Joe Biden's immediate family. And what they needed was help navigating the bureaucracy and eliminating barriers to entry in our markets. The one thing in this building that Democrats and Republicans agree on is that China's our biggest threat, and we do not need to allow them to purchase ownership into any industries, especially industries crucial to our national security. That's what Joe Biden was doing. He was working with his family on deals to try to help these crooks get out of trouble and to help gain access to our markets in the United States. So this is very serious. This is evidence, those two messages, number one, that there was the Biden brand, that's influence peddling, and number two, that they were working directly with Joe Biden.
Influence peddling is influence peddling. You know, you don't even have to own the business. If you've got it set up that, hey, you're using my name and my reputation, I'm going to get a little something, a little vig. Only if I'm the big guy, if I am number one, I'm going to get more than a little something. Now, of course, I remind you again, this is not court-presented evidence. It's the House committee laying it out, and there'll be more to lay out. And I know there will be still some deniers that just think there can't be anything wrong in what we've been hearing. I mean, they can't be right. None of this really exists. It's just a fabrication of far-right MAGA people. Bank records are an entirely different thing. And as you heard Comer say, and he's had a history in banking, he said that wire transfer was the only one I found that was not in a bank statement because they were getting sloppy and thought, who's going to care? All right, I mentioned I'm not even going to bother talking about the train wreck accident of the second GOP debate last night. They were yelling and shouting over each other, very little accomplished, any point scored, who knows. The only real winner was not even there. That would be Donald Trump. And today the Trump campaign stated that GOP debate was as boring and inconsequential as the first. And what he is now saying and suggesting, the RNC should immediately end any future primary debates, save the money, save it to spend against crooked Joe Biden. That's assuming Biden is still going to be around to run. That remains a big question. But he's suggesting Trump, RNC, Republican National Committee, quit giving money and blowing it on those debates, as you want to call them. What do you think? Coming up next, how diversity, equity, and inclusion might be falling apart. Hallelujah. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
I can feel my face when I'm with you. My love is. And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. Where was deep in love? Yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, let me begin with a quote from an opinion that appeared in the Washington Examiner. If you host a party and no one comes, is it still a party? So-called diversity, equity, and inclusion advocacy groups have to be asking themselves that question these days. Why? Well, my guest can explain. Jonathan Butcher with the Heritage Foundation, that was a piece he did for the Washington Examiner. Jonathan, welcome aboard.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Well, the news that you're suggesting and putting out in this, not just opinion, you've got facts to back it up. A shallow look at it would say we're seeing colleges and universities walk away from DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. What are you seeing fundamentally right now?
Well, I mean, what they're walking away from is racial preferences and racism. I mean, diversity, equity, and inclusion is deeply embedded with overall philosophy of critical race theory, right? It's within this overall kind of Marxist approach to the world based on racial power. And DEI is a contempt, it's just an application of that, right? It consists of training people that they're guilty of things based on skin color. It consists of advocating for policies that have racial preferences embedded in them, right? And so as colleges now, after the Supreme Court decision earlier this year against racial preferences in college admissions, colleges are now saying, great, we can say the quiet part out loud. These DEI programs are highly unpopular. People don't like them, and they are clearly discriminatory. And so they're closing their in some states, right? I mean, and it's growing here. Right. We're talking about Georgia and Florida and Texas now. We can begin to add to the list here, Arizona, where state university officials are closing the DEI offices or otherwise restricting what used to be the programs of those departments.
And they did not dare do that previously because the woke culture can cancel them out and destroy them.
Well, sure, and because I think that there hadn't been enough people coming out and saying, hey, look, these programs are telling me that I'm racist based on what someone in a prior generation with my same skin color did. They're making me guilty for nothing that I did. It has nothing to do with my choices or behavior. They're lumping me in with a group. And it's so bizarre, right? It's so bizarre that the likes of Ibram X. Kendi will say, you know, that racism is a systemic problem in the United States. So let's put everybody in groups and say they're guilty of doing things, right? I mean, that's such a, it's such a backwards way to prove your own theory.
Well, you but know, I'll tell you when they, I'm sorry, go ahead. I'll wait. Go ahead.
No. Well, just to finish the thought here, I think what's fascinating is that you have these groups who have come up over the years promoting DEI, hosting top dollar conferences that cost, you know, sometimes thousands of dollars to go. But, I mean, now what are they going to do? I mean, where are these people going to go afterwards? Because, you know, universities and businesses, I mean, the Wall Street Journal reported on this, they're cutting their DEI departments. They're not going to put money towards it anymore.
Now, that's where I was going, but before I was going to preface it with the fact that why be in universities and colleges? Well, for the same reason they're pushing it in grade school, instead of being taught math or being indoctrinated on DEI type philosophy. And because as you begin to train the kids up in the way they would go, maybe. And if you miss them there, well, then you start in universities and colleges and have them infiltrate. But you just mentioned the businesses, and I note that you quoted Bloomberg from September 10 that mentions diversity, equity, and inclusion on earnings calls, at conferences among Russell 3000 index companies, down 54% from a year ago, the lowest since 2018, and Coca-Cola urging originally employees to be less white, or Lockheed Martin's white male privilege training program. They're all kind of looking and say, we can walk away now and say, we fought the battle, it's over.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you have a business that has put money right into an office, they've had employees with the express responsibilities of promoting racial preferences, and now they're finally, from the Supreme Court, given the impetus to say we can close these, and they are quickly doing so. It just shows how shallow the support was for these programs, right? Businesses really didn't want to do this. I think they really understood it wasn't helping their bottom line. And I think they just did it because they felt like they would get negative press from the radical establishment if they didn't.
It's extortion is what it is. And you put out a part of your piece in the Washington Examiner, listening to Jonathan Butcher with the Heritage Foundation. You focus on Boston University, looking at the department, the DEI department led by Ibram X. Kendi, who conducts the lectures and trainings around the nation, and school officials looking into the culture, grant management practices, because they're not seeing any production out of it.
Sure. I mean, he is the prime example of DEI. I mean, he wrote the book, right? How to Be an Anti-Racist. He wrote a children's book on how to be an anti-racist. I mean, clearly, right, trying to target children at a very young age with these, racially focused ideas. And now you have his own university conducting an investigation because they've collected tens of millions of dollars in donations after the George Floyd summer of 2020, and saying, where are the results? What exactly is going on here? Besides the fact that a number of staff have now been laid off from his department. So he has a toxic culture in his own department, which, by the way, I guess ostensibly was about the issue of culture in American life. And now it's being investigated because it's not showing results. I mean, I think that more people need to understand that the very folks who developed this philosophy, who are pushing these ideas in New York Times best-selling books, are now, they're coming under scrutiny because we can finally come up and say discrimination is wrong everywhere, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, it is wrong everywhere. It is inappropriate to be racist no matter what.
Absolutely.
And so for Kendi to be saying over and over again that discrimination is appropriate today, I think he is, hopefully he is finally going to have to answer for that.
Well, but the bigger issue is if it were really going to walk away, or is it just smoldering in the corner? The DEI programs, from what I've seen on some of the information, you'll have to verify or disprove it. Some of these programs at these universities run from maybe spending $50,000 to $300,000, and half of that might be for one person like Kendi and then a bunch of minions to work under them, just painting and putting up posters.
I think we're going to have lost for one. I mean, I think that students and advocates are going to have to go out and look and find examples of these DEI programs conducting, discriminatory activities and call them to account for it and say, look, what you're doing violates the Supreme Court's decision. I think that we're going to have to challenge them and shine sunlight on them. My colleagues at the Heritage Foundation just did a report specifically on the public universities in Virginia and found a huge DEI presence, and the schools denied it. But you can't deny it when we can quite literally post the links
right
to the bios of the staff that are in the DEI office at these schools.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when they come out and say, I'm a DEI leader at Georgetown, that's a title. I get money to go with it. What do? Oh, I teach people to be racist.
Yeah, and I think that they can only deny it so far. And so I think what is a good sign of the times is when you have the heads of universities leading with statements saying, okay, we're not going to do this anymore. Now, it will take some time for that kind of message to trickle down, especially with, you have the professors at universities are, overwhelmingly, right? They lean to the left, overwhelmingly. There's a, pretty solid presence there kind of the new left and Marxist ideas. However, for the leadership to take that stand, because they're the target, right? They're going to be the target of negative press and things. But for them to stand up and say, you know, we're not going to do this anymore, is a very good first step. It's not the end, but it's certainly, you know, a good place for us to be.
Well, let's look at a bigger picture beyond universities, colleges, be they state or private, and corporations, be they public or private, our federal government and our military in particular. Where are we seeing DEI inside our own government agencies? They still are conducting their trainings and have their officers, and in our military.
Yeah, a new lawsuit this week recently from the same group that was involved in the Harvard and University of North Carolina lawsuits that were just decided back in May. And this one's on West Point. And I think that is a very important, you know, a very important one, because the Supreme Court decision from a couple of months ago actually, you know, specifically mentioned service academies, and that the service academies were exempt from that decision. So I think now to challenge, you know, our service academies on these same issues is that the timing is right. And I think that, you know, just as with education, we need our service academies to be, you know, keep the main thing, right?
Right.
We need to be training the leaders and the soldiers and the sailors and the pilots to be defending our country. Keep the main thing. Same thing with K-12 schools, right?
Yeah, you know, it's almost like you're quoting Joe Biden. I'm going to focus on being focused.
Yeah.
But you are correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, I mean, look, with K-12 schools, we have test scores now that are generationally, you know, low. I mean, we're talking about back to the 1990s scores that we haven't seen for decades now. And now is exactly the time for us to be saying that they need to be focusing on equipping students to be successful in school and in the rest of their lives. And parents are demanding the same thing. This is at the heart of the parent right movement. I think it is both about the culture of schools, but also feeling like parents, they feel like they're being let down by schools because their children are not, you know, they're not being prepared to go on to whatever it is they'll be doing either right. In high school or after.
Jonathan Butcher, I thank you for your time. And again, you can read his opinion piece in the Washington Examiner. Jonathan Butcher with the Heritage Foundation. I do appreciate it, sir.
Thank you.
Part of course, all the indoctrination came to light is we had to have Zoom schooling because of COVID, remember? So there was a silver lining. And now some folks want to get COVID shots and they're being told they're not available, and yet they are. What's going on there? Plus the immigration issue blowing up again. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
One of my recent trips to the border, a reporter asked me, said, aren't the policies of Democrats more compassionate, more humane then you mean Republicans? And I just started laughing. I said, you know who doesn't believe that anymore? Democrats. Where's Joe Biden? Where's Kamala Harris? Where's even a single Democrat senator? Where's AOC? I assume she still has her white pantsuit. She just can't be bothered to cry in front of the Biden cages. Because with Trump no longer in the White House, suddenly the suffering of those kids doesn't matter.
I think he's right to the point. That is Senator Ted Cruz, of course, of Texas, talking about how the Democrat left progressives who were all about, as he said, AOC being a perfect example, tearfully crying about the terrible conditions these kids are in these cages during the Trump administration. And they were in the same facilities that Obama had used previously. And, of course, they were down there on a regular basis, and they were always followed at that time by the state-controlled media, because wherever they go, there's got to be a story, or a makeup story anyway, which is generally what it was. And as Cruz stated to the ridiculous question posed by some reporter, the only ones buying what you're trying to sell right now don't even include Democrats. They just include progressives. And that's the difference between a Democrat and a progressive. Look, I have a lot of good Democrat friends. I don't have any progressive friends. They don't want to be a friend with me. But they can still be a different political party. But they don't want to do some of the things the progressives do. And the Democrats are the ones that are beginning to recognize, and this now includes some of the progressives, this open border thing is not a good idea. If you missed the last hour, shame on you as always, but you can always pull it up and listen to it at LarryConnorsUSA.com. You can subscribe. We will send it to you. But I was talking about the mayor of Burbank, California, who wants to be the L.A. County supervisor, and he's all about abolishing police. I mean, getting rid of police entirely. We're not talking about defunding. He really wants to get rid of it. He thinks police are useless. They serve no purpose anymore. Now, that is so far progressive, but so is the idea that you would have a sanctuary city and a state for illegals to come to. And when they take advantage of it, what are we seeing? Democrats, even some progressives, come to the conclusion, bad idea, back up, beep, 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 backing up, beep, 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 we're backing up. When you get New York City Mayor Adams stating the other day, this is going to destroy New York City. He's talking about the illegals. They also have crime issues. They have other issues as well. Taxes and people and others, businesses, I should say, leaving the city, much less the state. And if you don't have that tax base, then you're even in more trouble. Pointing out to you yesterday, but it's worth stating again, the New York City mayor estimates to pay for the cost of hotels, because they're renting rooms from hotels to put a lot of these illegals in, or as they say, migrants, to deal with their, quote, migrant crisis, just for the next 3 years on the existing number of illegals they have, it will cost something like $1 billion, $1 billion. And he says that's just for the housing. You start adding everything else. He said over the next 3 years, the total cost of our, quote, migrant crisis, and again, we're talking about what they've got right now, not more coming, and they are, either by their own or by Governor Abbott and others saying, you want to go to New York City? Here's a bus. It's going to cost, over the next 3 years, the city of New York $12 billion over the next 3 years total. As he said, we are past our breaking point. It's costing something like $9.8 million a day on an average night to take care with 57,000 illegals. Oh, sorry, migrants we now have in our sanctuary city. And there's some areas of the country that are saying, we don't want any more of this. We want out of it. And I saw a tweet the other day. I just glanced at it. AOC basically claiming, look, migrants coming to New York City, as they want to refer to them now, is no different than what we saw in the beginning of our nation as they came through Staten Island, through Liberty Island, I should say, and then seeing the Statue of Liberty, and they came through. Yeah, but that was at a time that it was legal to do it in the way they were doing it. And there are folks on a waiting list to get to this country, waiting to see if their number gets pulled in a lottery so they can come. And a lot of them deciding, why am I going to sit here and wait? I have skills I can benefit from in America where I can here. If I can get to Mexico and then get across the border, the government's going to give me one of these passes with my picture, name, everything on it, and then I may have to show up to declare maybe in 2-3 years if I really am an asylum seeker or I came here to improve my economic situation. And we will probably never see them in court anyway. By the way, before I leave this issue, reference how screwed up the left could be, this is one of those things you think, what you did? You do know that North Korea expelled the U.S. soldier that defected and ran across the DMZ. He said he didn't like America, he felt it's racist, he didn't want to be here anymore, and he was in South Korea, and he's being brought back to be probably put in the brig somewhere for something he'd done in South Korea, and he said, you know, I'll just run into North Korea's arms. They'll like me. Well, they've expelled him. For what and who's behind it? We may never get the real story, but here's what the White House is saying. Biden's national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, on behalf of the president, is thanking China for helping return this private second class from North Korea, suggesting we had to have an adversarial communist government rescue a U.S. soldier. My position was, if he wants to be there, let him stay. He'll want out, but let him stay. Do nothing. Train no one to get him out. But apparently, Joe Biden has connections with China. Wouldn't you know? Some calls are made and said, hey, you got one of our soldiers. Can you turn him free for us? Sure, Joe. We'll make that happen. Now, am I exaggerating how it went down? I probably am, but you know what? I'm not any different than the exaggeration you get from the so-called news media that exists. All right, well, as we talked about before, we have an issue possibly coming on the horizon with another COVID scare, and if you're booked to have a vaccination and suddenly it's canceled, what happened? Larry, I'm glad you asked that question, and I happen to have an answer for you. I'm looking at a piece written by a MedPage Enterprise, an investigative writer, as she is billed, Rachel Robertson. I have no reason to question what she's got here, but I find it kind of humorous. She says, across social media, people are expressing frustration. They book an appointment to go to their local drugstore, Walgreens, CVS, whatever it is, to get a vaccination. And they get there and they're being told, well, we can't give you one. Well, I booked it. I want to get it. I fear COVID. I need to get the vaccine. There are some who want it, and again, that's your decision. But the updated mRNA vaccines that have been approved, a lot of the folks aren't getting the shot because as they show up, Walgreens and CVS say, well, we had to cancel your appointment at the last minute because we don't have enough doses. Liar, liar, pants on fire, as she reveals in her MedPage report. Moderna and Pfizer-BioNTech claim they have plenty in stock. And in fact, the Committee on Practice for the American Academy of Pediatrics said the vaccine rollout this year was faster than previous years, but there's still a delay. He said, you know, people hear the vaccine's been approved, they want to go get it, they're lining up, and it's not available. Media representative for Pfizer saying, even though the FDA has approved it, CDC's endorsed it, we have shipped and delivered several million doses. We continue to fulfill orders. Moderna says the same thing. So in other words, are they saying that the pharmacies actually have the vaccine, but then they're not going to give it to you? Oh, well, there's a little problem that's in the ointment this time, as a fly in the ointment, as you might say. Because the government is no longer paying for you to get these COVID shots. They did, but not this time. Not this time. Which means you need to have your insurance company pay for it. Now, here's where we find the rubber hitting the road. If your insurance company doesn't think you need to have the shot to stay out of the hospital and cost more, then they're not going to pay for it, and you're not going to pay for it. You're going to be told we don't have any vaccine available. I can see it right back. I can see it in the cooler back there. Which is also the other question. How long can it be in the cooler before it must be used or has to be thrown out? But if the insurance companies have decided, you know what? We don't need to spend money on this. Let the government either do it since it's their fraud. They didn't say that, but I did. Or let the people pay for it. But we had, as of just last week, Health and Human Services Secretary Becerra released a letter to the health care payer community, insurance companies, asking them for continued partnership, reminding them of, quote, their legal obligations for coverage of the vaccines. I'm sure they went over well in the insurance board meetings. His department launched the Bridge Access Program, which will provide continued free coverage for 25 to 30 million adults who would not have access to the vaccine since they're not going to be available and covered by insurance. And now they're trying to say, look, you may have to pay for it in the beginning and then you bill your insurance company for reimbursement. And then I say, the check's in the mail. Keep waiting for it. But one of in fact, back to the chair of the Committee on Practice and Medicine for the American Academy of Pediatrics talking about the vaccine. He says, we can't order and pay for a vaccine if we're not sure we're going to get paid back adequately by the insurance companies. None of us can operate getting paid less than we spend on the vaccine. That puts us all out of business. So pediatricians have been unwilling to even order the vaccine for even private patients unless they know the insurance company is going to pay them back fully, or at least, quote, adequately. Kaiser Permanente, one of the largest HMOs and insurers in various parts of the country, reports that numerous coverage delays and delays in receiving booster stock. And other insurers are also saying, that's our issue. We just can't get coverage out because they're not, I mean, they're going, pointing fingers back and forth. Which is going to be distressing to the pharmaceutical companies, but that's how we made a lot of money. And if people aren't going to be frightened into buying it this time, and the insurance companies say there's no reason for you to have it, it doesn't work, obviously. We've already seen that. We're not going to cover it. You want it? Go pay for it. They're trying to make it look like a lot of people want it, but they can't afford it. And woe is we because of that situation. Poor mouthing. Again, if you want the vaccine, that will be your decision. If your insurance company is not going to pay for it, if you really believe you need it, then you're not going to wait on the insurance company, are you? Of course not. You're going to find a way to pay for it. Or maybe you'll also decide, if the insurance company doesn't think it has any value, why am I willing to pay for it? Oh, let me end on another note here for you. The Senate had a rare bipartisan vote. It passed the Shorts Act. Show our respect to the Senate. This restores a dress code, and John Fetterman now has to wear pants while he's on the House floor. No more shorts. But I'm looking at this. I don't see anything in here that says no use of the hoodie. Schumer, of course, allowed this to happen. Wall Street Journal columnist Peggy Noonan wrote, Fetterman, who enjoys parading around in gym shorts and a hoodie, why would Schumer allow him to do that? Because he's afraid of the woke culture? Who knows? As always, thanks for watching us. Keep your shorts on. We'll be back tomorrow. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.